This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world, not on 790 AM, but on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. I almost missed the start of the show. I was taking a picture of my kids who are lying on the floor.
They're so cute.
Watching the Wonder Pets.
I've never even heard of that.
Well, of course, you don't have little kids. No. If you had little kids, you would know Umizoomi and Wonder Pets.
Speaking of that.
Yes.
There's a reason why I don't have kids, and there's a reason why I'm now single.
You're now single? Wait a second. You are announcing on Gervy's Law.
Yeah, because you're making me. I was going to do it on my podcast, but you know what? I'm doing it for you.
You are single? Should we have this hour of calling 800-222-5222? We are live right here in Los Angeles. If you want to date Carrie Kasem.
No.
She's beautiful. She's intelligent.
Thank you.
She's got more energy than anyone could ever believe. And she's single. 800-222-5222. 800.
No.
You're sitting next to another single woman.
Yes.
I'm here with two single women. Evelyn Gervy. Welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Is this on?
It is.
This is hilarious.
Why? What are you looking at? It's like you haven't been here before. You've been here for 5 years.
Oh, there's the red light.
Oh, you're looking for the red light. So you're single too, right?
I am.
Okay. So we will have pictures up on our Facebook, probably our website.
There we go. And Art needs to play all the single ladies. I don't know why he didn't cue. Usually
come
he
on,
is
Art.
Quick like that.
So
usually
we have Evelyn Gervy.
Like
what are you looking for in a man, Evelyn?
Kind, considerate.
Kind, and breathing?
Breathing.
That's so funny.
Willing to go out now and then.
Willing to go out now and then.
Now, once in a while. No, not cruising. Often. Cruising. What about cruising?
Cruising,
yeah, they
sure.
got to like cruising.
And
right?
they have
cruising.
To drive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have to drive.
You don't
yeah.
want someone taking a Uber with you?
No.
You
no,
need
he has
someone to take
drive.
You out. What else?
Kind, considerate.
Yes.
Right.
Nice.
How about
smart,
money?
Funny.
Money. Lots
oh,
of money.
That would help.
What always. About Carrie? What are you looking
I'm
for?
I'm not looking for anything right now. I am looking to heal.
Heal.
I'm taking my time for myself. I don't need, I'm no,
He's
not
taking
interested
a
right
break.
Now.
You know,
I am.
I wish we could take the whole hour and talk about your relationship and why you broke it up, but
well,
you're
going to
be doing
this.
That on your podcast.
Yeah, I am. Let me just say that. He is my best friend. I have nothing bad to say about him. Love him. We didn't break up in hate or anger in any way. He wants children.
Yeah.
That's not, at least now for me, that's not where my life is heading. And, you know, he doesn't want kids for another 5 to 10 years. I'm 45 years old.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Right.
You know, well, I don't look at, thank you, Lord, Botox filler, but I really don't want, you know, right now in my life, children. So.
You know, I've always liked Jesse. He's like a
He's
great
wonderful.
Guy. And I'm thinking, you know, Nancy's out of town. That's why I'm babysitting. And I don't
Aww.
Know, I could talk to Nancy and see maybe, you know, Jesse and I might hook up a little
there
bit.
There you go.
Know. I might want another kid.
Everybody loves Jesse. There's not, I mean, if you like Jesse, there's something, if you don't like
right,
Jesse,
there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, because he's such a kind.
He's a great guy. So, so are you going to talk about why you're not together anymore?
Well, that was going to be my first podcast, but you blew it. It's called Breaking Up is Hard to Do, and it's bringing back the K-Pod. And I'm going to really talk about, you know, what it's like to break up, not just with somebody you love so much, but your best friend.
Yeah.
And taking kind of for granted that you have this person that checks in with you all the time and that they're there all the time. They're texting you, they're calling you, they know your whole schedule, they know your day. And to have that when you think, okay, the relationship here isn't working, but the friendship was.
Yeah.
And to have that whole thing be ripped away is, I mean, I don't want to go too much, but I'm going to go into everything that happened in the last couple
months. How can someone listen to the podcast if they want to hear it?
Well, can we announce it when I actually put it on?
Yeah, when we put it on. Mom, what would you give, you know, you've been single for a while since Dad died some years ago. What advice would you give Carrie about being single and hooking up with men?
To take cruises?
Yeah, somebody who you can travel with, who likes cruises, who likes the same things you do.
Yeah, and that was the problem. We liked everything together.
They're best friends, but it doesn't always work in a relationship.
No, it doesn't. And it's okay. I mean, there's always, I'm always open to whatever. Things could change. They may not, but at this point, it's
well, I'm not going to say anything bad now because I know next week you might be back together.
Mom,
you know, I know when you came into the studio, you were saying some things about, you know, about Jesse and everything. You don't know him. Yeah, you met him, once.
She's met him, the man with the yellow hat.
And she liked him. She thought he was really good looking. But, you know, you shouldn't say anything to Carrie because Carrie tends to get back together with boyfriends after they're broken up.
No, it's just, I mean, look, if we do, we do. But it's at this point, it's really was a large consideration and a long talk. And it wasn't, you know, an easy decision. And we both made it. And it was just, you know, we'll see.
And he's okay with it?
I think we're both sad, and I think we both miss each other. I mean, it's been 2 months.
But, you know, you're really hot. I think you can start dating.
Thank you.
You think she's hot, or
so
she
I'm
should start dating?
Cold.
You're cold.
She's cold. I'm hot. I'm literally throwing myself into work. I've been nonstop, and that helps. It really does.
Of course, you have to do that.
Keep busy.
Absolutely.
You have a void in your life.
Yes, a huge one.
A huge one.
Let's not talk about that. I'll cry.
Yeah, don't cry.
No,
Mom.
Yes.
You know, you've had a void in your life. What have you done to fill your void? You watch old movies. And cry.
Well, no,
you go out. You
I
do
go
things
out with my friends. I play mahjong. I volunteer.
Yeah. See if I can find
I
a bridge
things,
club.
Yeah,
bridge club.
Bridge.
I can see Gary playing bridge.
And
you come to visit your grandchildren who are lying on the floor watching Umizoomi.
To my grandchildren.
Maybe we can get them on the show later if we can
law.
Rip them away from the iPad.
There you go.
I'm babysitting. Nancy is at her high school reunion.
Oh, wow.
In Indiana at Culver Academy is where she went to high school.
So where she's in Indiana? Been where is
I have no
where
idea. Okay. No clue. Ask her.
Because I spent a lot of summers in Indiana.
Yeah, well, you know, she rode horses like you did when she was there.
Oh, we need
she
to
was
talk.
In, yeah, she was in equestrian.
We need to
equestrian.
Talk.
So she's having a great time. I haven't heard from her. No, actually, we just
FaceTime. It leaves and you never hear anything.
You know, and it's been tough, but I've been taking care, and my mom is here to help take care of the kids with me, so that's very nice. Thanks for coming from Toronto
to do that.
The guest on our show coming up in a few minutes actually went to school at McGill University in Montreal, and that's where you were a librarian there.
I was a librarian
at McGill University.
Yes.
My grandma did that. She's a librarian, too. She is an English major and did all that and did some librarian
and
stuff.
You know, Carrie, for those of the people who are listening now and thinking that they're going to hear a show an hour talking to two women who are single and reminiscing about their relationships and what they can do in the future, that's not true. It's going to stop because we're going to talk to Matthew Rosenberg, and Matthew Rosenberg covers national security and intelligence for the New York Times. He will be featured in a documentary, a four-part documentary coming out on May 27th. It was at the Tribeca Film Festival. And it is on Showtime, and it chronicles the first year of Donald Trump's presidency from the New York Times perspective, reporting the media and Donald Trump, which has been a very complicated and difficult relationship. So Matt is going to tell us about what it's like covering these issues, covering the president, and what the Showtime documentary will show us. Because a lot of people want to know the connection with the Russians and all the other things that have gone on. Matt has been really in the news a lot over the last few years because he was expelled from Afghanistan as a reporter. He's been falsely accused of being a spy. He's a finalist for Pulitzer Prize in international reporting in 2016 and was part of the Times reporters covering the Islamic State. as the Pulitzer Prize finalist. He won the George Polk Award for military reporting. So the guy's been around. He's got a lot of experience in this area. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes. Before we get to Matt, did anyone watch the royal wedding?
I watched clips of it.
Part of it.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
And, Mom?
Go ahead.
No, go. You're my mom now.
Okay. I'm like, Mom, yes, dear.
Yeah.
I feel like one. I just love them. I love them so much. I have an obsession with them. I think, like, having this Meghan Markle, who I've been watching on Suits for years and years and years, as, you know, an actress.
And we had her friend on the show.
Rick Hoffman
from Suits.
Who I've known for a long time. But, I just adore her. And she's incredibly intelligent. She does a lot of humanitarian work.
Yeah.
And I just.
And she grew up just down the street from where
I
live.
Right down here.
She grew up in Woodland Hills. I'm in Calabasas, so it's not far. But I never knew her growing up.
Now, that's a man who's sexy, intelligent, flies
Thank
a
you.
Helicopter.
Thank you. Oh, you're talking about the prince.
The prince.
That's Harry. Mom, you watched the show. You liked her dress, I heard.
Yeah, it was simple and elegant.
Sexy. Beautiful. Not really.
No, it was okay.
When she took the dress off, like the
she
the
took
top,
the dress off.
Well,
I didn't
like the top
see that
of
part.
It came off, and it was really beautiful.
Like I missed them. I just saw.
Yeah, like she had her shoulders showing,
bare.
And that was beautiful.
Well, it was a good break because it was a tough week this week with the shooting in Texas.
Yes.
And the people, students mainly getting killed. Awful stuff going on in the world. My Winnipeg Jets lost last night. And I actually have tickets to game 6 in Vegas on Tuesday night.
Really? Are you going?
I would love. Yes. Well, I have tickets. But guess what? If they lose tomorrow,
they're out.
They're going golfing. And I'm not going to Vegas. But Hudson is looking forward to it. I'm hoping to take him to game 6. I was hoping to see the Jets win it in Vegas, but that won't happen. So we'll see what happens. So there are some tough things going on in the world and some nice things. Yeah. Weddings and Carrie breaking up with her boyfriend.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Nice. No,
see, it's the
you.
Ups and downs of...
My brother's getting married.
Well,
we have an engagement party for him this evening. I'm very happy.
Yeah. Wow, that's exciting. I didn't know that. Wow, you're springing.
So
you're
happened.
Breaking
it
up.
It just
and
happened.
Oh, it did. Well, congratulations to Mike Kasem.
Yeah.
I'm sure your father would be very happy.
He would be.
Would he like the girl?
She is so perfect for him. She was a professional golfer.
Oh.
So, I mean, and she does, she works for, you know, Fox over in Asia. So she does, they do all the golf stuff. And that's what they do. They
okay.
We
will talk about that another time. Right. We've got to get a little more serious here. Mom, thanks for being here at Gervie's Law. You can take a break because we're going to talk to Matt Rosenberg the break. Carrie?
Yes.
Stop.
Yes,
get off
I'm posting
Facebook.
About us.
Stop posting.
Look at it. He knows.
You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Curb appeal. You know it when you see it. And with the Home Depot, you can absolutely get it. Boost your curb appeal with the best brands at the best prices. From new garage doors to colorful flowers. From exterior lights to a new coat of paint. From inspiration to installation. You can get everything you need to boost your curb appeal on a budget. Like Emco's Storm Door, now only $199. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Murphy's Law Upside Down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. We were having a pretty intense conversation off the air. Now we're going to turn our attention to a new documentary, a four-part documentary coming out from Showtime. May 27th, it'll premiere. It premiered actually at the Tribeca Film Festival. And it is called The Fourth Estate, and it chronicles life as a reporter on the beat of the presidency, the first year of the Donald Trump presidency. And the documentary takes you through a number of different important events and really opens up a lot of questions about the role of the media. I think Mr. Trump may have started that, and the media now have to deal with it. So we're going to welcome to Gervie's Law right now Matthew Rosenberg, who is a well-known journalist. He covers national security and it's not really natural at all. National security and intelligence for the New York Times. He's based out of Washington. He won the George Polk Award for military reporting in 2015. He has a long curriculum vitae of some pretty interesting reporting, especially having a lot to do with the Russian interference, perhaps, in the election. Matt Rosenberg, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. Now, I got to ask you, because you were followed around as part of the Fourth Estate, the documentary, people looking over your shoulders with cameras. And of course, this was done by Liz Garbus, who is a well-known documentary filmmaker. I loved her Searching for Bobby Fischer. That was a great film.
So good.
And amongst others. But Matt, tell us what it's like when you're doing your job, having some people, a lot of them, following you around. Because I know as a lawyer, I have some confidential things, some privileged things. I don't want people seeing what I'm doing.
Well, that's the first thing. I think it's great for every journalist to have somebody follow them around. Because God knows I've done enough of it to enough people in my life.
Yeah.
And been the fly on their wall from, you know, hanging out in weird villages in Africa and Asia to embeds of the military. And, you know, like it's a good lesson that what it's like to be observed. Because you learn a lot. And what to do, what not to do. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the problems. I mainly cover intelligence and national security, and the folks I work with, my kind of immediate team of colleagues at the Times, we work with a lot of sensitive sources, people whose identities, it's not just they want to be kept secret, they need to be kept secret to keep these people safe, to keep them out of prison, to keep them talking to us. And there were occasional meetings. I know, like, we let the cameras follow us into one little meeting we were having about stories. We're trying to talk about stuff, but we're trying not to identify or even describe in any detail any of the sources we're talking about.
Right.
So we literally sit around this table. It sounds like a meeting from Goodfellas. We're like, yeah, you know, that guy. Yeah, no, he's a good fella. And finally, after like 10 minutes, we're like, you guys, you got to get out of here. We can't have this meeting with you sitting here. We sound like a bunch of mobsters.
But doesn't it make do your job differently when you know that you have this sensitive stuff? I mean, especially when you're talking about these leaks that everyone is interested in, and you could expose it all with the camera right behind you.
Well, we told them to go away from some of that stuff. I mean, there were some times we just said, look, you can't have you film this. And I know I took, there was a trip overseas or two trips overseas to a place anywhere, somewhere in Europe, that if it had worked out, it would have been great. It would have been an amazing story. And it hasn't quite worked out yet, but they wanted to come. I said, guys, you can't come on this, because if this works out, even showing where I am could be problematic for the sources. So I just can't have you along for this. So there was a lot of that. There was a lot of just like, hey, you know, cut the cameras here. I can tell you we cursed a lot less when the cameras were on. So, but you know,
that's what happens to us when we flip on the mics. F-bombs.
Exactly. I'm trying not to right now.
Well, that's okay. So. Carrie does all the time.
Oh no, I have a truck driver mouth, and literally though, I've been on 21 years now talk radio. I have learned only in my 21 years, only once have I slipped up, but I hit the dump button.
Yeah,
only once in my entire life. Now I have a question for you because this is too. I'm reading your bio, and this really stuck out. You were expelled from Afghanistan in 2014. Now, what did that entail? Was your life in danger? What happened?
What do you mean, was his life in danger?
Yeah.
That wasn't the issue.
What if you get expelled from Afghanistan, people could be coming after you. I'm telling you. Obviously, he did something that, you know.
Wait a second. How do you know that's fake news? How do you know that he did something?
Okay, it's fake. I'm sorry. It's a total lie.
Let's
hear it. Dispel it now.
Let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
It depends on your idea of right and wrong. I think to remember President Karzai, to him, I certainly did something wrong.
Right.
To the rest of us, I would say probably not. It was weird. You know, our relationship with the Afghan government had gotten more and more complicated over time, especially with Karzai. And I think it was just one story too many that he didn't like and that really upset him. In this case, it was a fairly obscure story about, you know, this political crisis they were having and the solution that a bunch of his allies had come up with. I mean, his story ran, I think, A12 inside the newspaper. I mean, it was not a huge story, but it was just the final straw. And so it was weird. The story pops and they say, hey, can you come over to the attorney general's office? We want to have a casual meeting with you. And it was an Afghan national holiday. So I went over there with a colleague and our security guy and a translator. And it suddenly became a not very casual conversation where they're demanding to know my sources, wanted me to sign some kind of document, which is written in Dari, which is a language I do not read, and I definitely was not going to sign.
Right.
I mean, the funny thing here is they kept demanding to know my sources, and I kept pointing out, you know, half the sources of the story are named. There are quotes and names of them, like the country's national security advisor, Afghanistan's interior minister. I mean, they're not really hidden sources here. Anyway, but it did get weird. You know, we were really worried I was going to get arrested. Because for 24 hours,
yeah,
they first said, you can't leave the country was the first thing they did. They said, we kind of leave the attorney general's office saying, we'll come back tomorrow with our own lawyer and we'll talk some more. And then about an hour after that, I get a phone call from another reporter saying, hey, the attorney general just announced you're not allowed to leave the country. I said, really?
Did you get concerned, obviously, knowing the sad story of Daniel Pearl, the Jewish spy, so to speak, as they called him? You know, the name Matthew Rosenberg doesn't exactly suggest that maybe you're not in the same boat. Wasn't that a concern of yours?
So here's two things I'd point out. I had worked in Pakistan previously, and it was probably a deeper concern there. Here's the amazing thing, though. In that part of the world, a lot of people don't recognize Rosenberg the way we maybe recognize it here. So there are a great many people who could not figure that one out immediately. Still, yes, of course, it's a huge concern. Afghans actually are pretty tolerant. You know, it's the other parts of kind of Central Asia and the Middle East are much more frightening. You hear a lot more anti-Semitism than you do in Afghanistan, where there's an indigenous Jewish community. I mean, they're down to one. But it's not a big concern for them in the way it is elsewhere. Anyway, you know, at one point we thought I was going to be arrested, which was definitely not a welcome prospect. Finally, they just said, you got to leave. And they showed up with like a truck full of armed police, like AK-47s with an expulsion letter.
And you left pretty quickly.
Yes, I did.
Were you afraid for your life at any point?
The arrest thing was when we didn't know if I was going to be allowed to leave the country. Yeah, I was worried about that, and not like an immediate "oh, I'm going to get killed tomorrow" kind of thing, but just that kind of deep like "I don't know what's going to happen here."
So
real quick on the Afghanistan thing.
Yeah.
I know you were out there. I don't know how long. Did you ever cross paths with Kim Barker where they did the Taliban shuffle, the whiskey?
Oh yeah.
You did?
I know Kim. Kim's a really good friend. Yeah.
I loved her book.
So her book is I've told Kim this, is the best book about Americans in Afghanistan that's been written. And her movie is a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I remember we were at a screening for the movie, a bunch of Times people, and the book was better, by the way, I agree. But we're at the screening with a bunch of Times people, and afterward, one of the very senior editors, who's a very sweet person, but probably a little more uptight than some of us, comes up to me and another colleague who'd both been in Kabul the same time Kim was, and they say, was it really like that? And my colleague just kind of laughs. He goes, yeah, there wasn't that much cocaine. And just kind of walked up to get another drink. And I was like, I'm kind of back, but I'm like, no, we never behaved like that. No, never, ever.
Yeah, the parties were hilarious, like the underground
wait
parties.
A second. I need to rein this in. We can't go in this direction.
It's too fun.
Matt, listen, prior to the show, I looked at our Facebook page really quickly, and people were commenting on you being on the show, and they were talking about, some of them were saying, journalists are not objective. There are financial interests of media organizations that prevail in journalism. And just to use the segue from the Afghanistan stuff, you know, it's a huge question. We've had Christian Amanpour on our show addressing that question. But I want to know, when we talk about Afghanistan and moving forward, is there an issue of whether or not a journalist like yourself is not objective, and perzhaps that's why Karzai or any head of state is looking out and trying to expel you from their country?
Look, I think objective is kind of not a great term. You know, we're human beings. Nobody's perfectly objective. What you're striving to do is be fair and be balanced. You know, I unfortunately, there is a large media company that kind of has appropriated that.
Fair and balanced.
But it is what you're trying to do, is that you're trying to approach things with fairness and balance. And of course, especially when you're overseas as a foreign correspondent, there's a whole set of biases and a worldview that you carry with you. You know, you were raised in one part of the world in one set of circumstances, and that's going to kind of, you're going to see the world through that prism, and you know, you try your best to overcome it, but it's absolutely there. And I think, you know, for somebody like Hamid Karzai and for other leaders in many other countries, they see a bunch of well-off Westerners come in and think they know better. I can imagine how off-putting that is.
I understand that. We need to pick up on that. We have to take a quick break. I think the news is coming up, but I want to talk about that after the break when we talk about the Fourth Estate, the Showtime documentary, which will be premiering on Showtime May 27th. Talk about the objectiveness of dealing with the Trump presidency specifically. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. After weeks of tensions, China and the United States have reached an initial agreement on trade. Both parties said in a joint statement today that China has agreed to significantly increase purchases of U.S. goods and services in order to reduce the trade imbalance between the two countries. This was a top demand of the Trump administration during 2 days of trade talks in Washington with Chinese officials. And former President Jimmy Carter said today that he believes the single greatest challenge facing the world is discrimination against women and girls. Carter, who delivered the commencement address at Liberty University in Virginia, said he now places the human rights abuses against women and girls even higher on his list of global problems than wealth disparity. KABC SoCal Weather Watch, partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon with highs in the mid-60s to lower 70s. The California primary is June 5th. This is an important election. Be sure to have your say. Vote. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need to sell your home right away? Are you facing foreclosure, behind on payments, need huge expensive repairs, need to move quickly? You can't wait forever. You need to do something right now. Introducing JustSold.com, a revolution in the real estate industry. JustSold.com will buy your home direct. You'll skip over the usual hassles with agents and brokers, and you pay no commission. JustSold.com will even pay your closing costs. JustSold.com is an investment company that buys homes in Southern California from owners who don't want to pay repairs, don't want the hassle of open house showings, and especially don't want to wait up to 6 months for the whole process to be over. Your financial situation, condition of your property, rentals, homes, or condos, it just doesn't matter. JustSold.com is ready to make the deal happen. It's fast and easy. Sell your home now. Call for your no-obligation consultation and get a cash offer on the spot. Call now. 800-695-0048. 800-695-0048. 800-695-0048.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back and we're talking to Matthew Rosenberg, who is one of the stars. One of the stars. I think it was Albert Brooks that talked about the media being the stars. Remember that film not too long ago?
No.
Long time ago.
No.
You.
Which one is it?
Being a star in the Showtime documentary, Fourth Estate, it premieres May 27th. And Matt, I want to talk to you about the Trump presidency. Obviously, everyone knows that there's a little disconnect, and I'm being kind, between the media and the president. And he's gone out to go after a lot of the media, especially some of the specific organizations, New York Times, who Matt works for, CNN and some of the others, Washington Post. Tell us what it was like through your eyes for the first year and what people will see on this documentary covering President Trump as a national security expert.
So this is an entirely new experience. I think I just want to qualify this by saying, you know, there are other presidents who have their issues with the media, and even the Obama administration, they did a lot to go after the media to try and prosecute and, you know, leakers and launch leak investigations. They were not particularly kind to the media. Trump is just much more upfront about it in a lot of ways, and the rhetoric is much more hostile, and that is a difference, an important difference.
Right.
You know, we never had a president call us the enemy of the people, for instance. on national security issues, It's been utterly extraordinary because I don't think we've ever had a single president, at least in my lifetime and lifetime within living memory of most people, that has come into office where pretty much the entire national security establishment from right to left was busy saying this person is unfit. This person cannot do this job, does not know how to do this job, does not have the tools to do this job.
But when you hear that, it's interesting because, yeah, we hear that all the time, but he was elected. So how do you weigh that?
That's the big problem. He was elected. And, you know, I think you've had a number of people go into the administration thinking this is the person who was elected, and now we have to try to do our best to help. That, you know, his success is America's success. And I believe that as well. But I also think you've had reactions from the get-go that have said, well, be tried, and they don't want to be helped. There's a very, very well-known kind of national security thinker in Washington called Elliot Cohen. He's a neocon. You know, a lot of people aren't going to always agree with him. But after Trump, he was one of the never-Trumpers, and after Trump was elected, he kind of wrote this column in the Post saying, look, it's your duty that if you think you can help and they want to hire you, you should do it. And then after hearing some experiences, a few days later, he wrote another column saying, I can't in good conscience recommend anybody go into this administration. Really complicated.
Does that give you an excuse, a moral excuse perhaps, to leak? You know, Drudge says that there's been damaging leaks daily. And, you know, we know about this when we talk about James Comey. He's, you know, obviously been outspoken for what happened with him. Does that give you that right?
So here's the thing. And just because I know some of these leakers personally, because I'm one of the people who are leaking stuff to.
We're not going to ask you who they are, though.
Yeah.
sources.
I can't tell you who they
are.
But what I can tell you is that there are people I've known for many, many years who would never have told me anything classified. And that's changed in the last year. And it's changed because these are people who joined the government when they were, many of them in their 20s, and with the idea that they wanted to work within the system, incremental change, the kind of things that you do when you join the government. And that whenever they saw things go wrong or things they lost in an intramural battle or something, there are corrective measures. There are ways to fix the problem within the system. But what they see now is a system that is not fixing itself, that those self-corrective measures aren't working. And by design, you know, the First Amendment's there for a reason. We are the safety valve.
Yeah,
you know, if all
We have a lot of whistleblower laws that are implemented throughout the country, and there are other ways. If in fact there may be an issue of, forcing someone to either break the law or doing things like what we talk about, the interference in the election. So, what about the law versus the media?
That's the thing. Those whistleblower laws very rarely apply. Or they don't really apply at all to classified information. So the people who are leaking in some cases are taking great personal risk. And I use one example of one where there is no self-corrective mechanism that we know of that is working. In last May, so May 2017, Trump, a few days after meeting with firing Comey, met with Russia's foreign minister and the Russian ambassador in the Oval Office. Now, during that meeting, he shared intelligence that we had gotten from Israel that was so sensitive the Israelis had asked us to not even share it with, say, the British, some of our closest allies. And, hey, buddy, I got to do this phone call right now. Sorry, got some child care issues there.
Okay, I got two kids.
He's got two kids here,
I have two kids sitting in the studio
right here.
he had shared this incredibly sensitive intelligence with the Russians. On top of that, he went off and called Comey a nut job. Said, firing would be great pressure. Now, look, the nut job part of that was definitely not classified. You know, that kind of conversation, I don't see how. I think
we just call that an ad hominem.
Yes, but the stuff about the Israeli intelligence was incredibly classified. Now, the president has the right to share it with anybody he wants, to declassify it and share. But, I think that there is a certain public interest in knowing that the president has gone off and shared intelligence from one very close ally with a country that is certainly not an ally and is most definitely allied with an enemy of the ally who gave us the intelligence. You know, that there is an interest in voters should know that this is what's going on here. Then they can make their own decisions.
But
you know, the only way to find that out was to share classified information. There was no other way to do that.
But what medium should be used? I mean, obviously you may be biased because you work for the New York Times, but, the point is a good point. But again, you look at the different conservative, liberal, bending media, and should someone be able to really capitalize on that kind of information in the media?
You know, it's a tough call. Usually, in most cases, we have people who have long careers in various positions, and we trust their judgment on a lot of issues, so we're going to have to trust their judgment here. I think it's an incredibly tough call for anybody who chooses to share this kind of information, and at times it's a very tough call for us as well. There have been instances where we have held things out of stories over the many years at the request of the White House or the CIA or whomever, because to put that in there really would threaten national security. I've been involved in some of those cases personally. There have been some mistakes that were made. We withheld in 2004 stories about wireless wiretapping that the Bush administration was doing. And that eventually came out and did not destroy our national security, but it did tell us something was going on here.
Yeah.
It's a really, really tough call.
It is a tough call, but, in the documentary, we see a little bit of competition maybe between New York Times, Washington Post, trying to get the scoop. It's part of all of these things that we do. Anytime someone works in an organization, you have some competition, and we have egos. That seems to come to the forefront in the documentary, in the Fourth Estate, seeking out the best leaks, so to speak, to utilize them in your reporting. What happened, Matt?
He got
I guess he didn't like that question.
He's off now.
Is he back?
Nope.
No?
Hello?
All right.
He's gone. He's going to call back.
Mom, what do you think?
She's like,
what, you want to answer the question?
Oh, thanks. Maybe tomorrow.
See, maybe tomorrow. Okay. We don't want to leak any information. We, you know, we'll see if we'll get him back on. Okay. We'll see if we can get him back on. And I'll wait for a second because I think Dino's working hard on it. That's what happens when you're talking to people. He's been accused. If you look Matthew Rosenberg up, you'll see that he's been accused of being a spy himself. And there's
many
a whole
of these leakers
long,
have, yeah.
A long deal.
Hey, yeah,
not him, but people who do that.
There
yes.
you are. We were just saying
sorry,
you didn't see what happens to the media. If you don't like a question, you just hang up.
I know. But it's a deep, I think it was a deep state. I mean, they cut us off.
Exactly.
Where were we? So, hey, look, the competition is obviously important, but I know of at least one story I was involved in this year where we found out a bunch of things. At the request of a very large three-letter U.S. agency, we withheld this information because when they came to us, they made a very good case that what if we printed this, we would put at risk certain human sources for information,
yeah,
and ongoing intelligence collection, and there was nothing political, but there were things in that story, other things they could have objected to. They didn't object to anything that's politically embarrassing. And they did, though, make a very compelling case that, like, these three details will ruin this thing. And we're Americans as well, you know, and we do understand there is a responsibility here that we're not going to go expose genuinely dangerous secrets.
And of course, you have to maintain the system, because if you don't, then how are you ever going to get your stories in the future?
I mean, you know, systems change. I'm fine with that. I don't have a stake in maintaining the authority or the inner workings of our intelligence community. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of stuff out there that we classify way too much information. And B, there are things that, like, you know, that the government wants to keep secret, but a huge public ramifications and public interest in knowing, like, you know, the Mike Flynn investigation.
Yeah.
You know, this is important.
People need to know. People need to know. We got to wind it up. But I want to ask you one last question. For people who are going to watch the documentary, The Fourth Estate, what do you hope they will learn from it?
You know, I hope they see that we're careful about what we do. We're not in there thinking, oh, no, we got to please some kind of advertiser. Because trust me, nobody's advertising off the work I do anyway. That we're not in there talking about that, that we're carefully considering kind of the information we're getting. We are not saying, oh, God, this is going to be really bad for Trump, so let's put it in there or something like that. But none of that goes on. And then, look, we're people trying to do our jobs, like everyone.
Okay, again, if we just shift the gear for a second, that's all well and good, but are people going to learn anything about the Trump administration and how it's working moving forward?
I think they'll learn a little bit. They'll see their relationship with us and how, you know, for a guy who gets something called the enemy of the people, he spends a lot of time either calling some of my colleagues like Maggie Haberman, and his people spend a lot of time engaging with us as well. You know, that it is a much more complicated relationship than the president presents it as.
Interesting, because that kind of presents both sides of the story from the media and what we may learn about the president and policies moving forward. The documentary is called The Fourth Estate. It will be premiere on Showtime on May 27th. He's Matthew Rosenberg. Don't miss it. It should be really exciting. Matt, I want to thank you for being on Gervie's Law today.
Thanks for having me.
Good talking to you.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Restore your vehicle's lost power by cleaning your entire fuel system with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Right now, buy one bottle and get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your engine clean and improve performance with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Some people think nasal congestion is just a stuffy nose. But it can also leave you feeling run down and tired. So try Simply Saline Nasal Mist. It helps you breathe easier in seconds. So you can get back to feeling like you. And with 100% pure ingredients, it's doctor recommended for use with allergy and cold medications. For instant relief from nasal congestion, try Arm & Hammer Simply Saline.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
800-222-5222. It's funny because we were just talking about Matt Rosenberg, who we just had on from New York Times, and he's at AllMattNYT, at AllMattNYT. And he was having kid issues this afternoon. Yeah. We both are taking care of our kids Saturday afternoon.
Yes, absolutely. I have something interesting. I have a little tidbit on the wrongful death suit. My lawyers probably wouldn't want me to tell you, but I think it's so interesting. You know how I'm going through this, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to start this trial soon because it'll be 4 years since my dad died June 15th. So, you know, there's basically none of my dad's friends or family members are on my stepmother's side. Here's another one. So you got me to say something that I wasn't going to say on air at the beginning of the show. And this is something I'm going to say that I wasn't supposed to say, but I'm going to say it at the end of the show. Breaking news. The first person that my stepmother is calling as her witness to be deposed is my stalker, the woman I have a restraining order against.
You have a stalker?
I do.
Mom?
It was a
did
cyber
you know
stalker.
Carrie had a stalker?
It was a cyber stalker, yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So,
you didn't know it.
Yeah.
No,
somebody
I didn't.
who came to a Case and
That's
Cares
scary.
Meeting once and another meeting we met briefly. And then she, for many years, came after me and threatened me with death threats and violence. And
wow.
then they...
It sounds like what Matt Rosenberg went through in Afghanistan.
Yes. So, I mean, it was hell. Trust me. The police were involved. I mean, it takes a lot, but I finally got a restraining order on this person. And that is my stepmother's first witness. The only person.
What's her name?
Oh, I'm not. No.
Why?
No,
what
no,
do you
no.
mean? Let's say it.
Well,
no.
You can't say.
All she wants is attention. That's it. And
you're giving it to her right now.
No, I'm not saying her name.
Okay, don't say the name. This is what media. I need
like,
the link.
Dino, look at him. He's like, "What are you doing?" He's gonna like hit
no.
you. He's like, "No way, no way." Anyway, so I just thought that was so interesting that you have absolutely there's nobody from my father's side of the family, nobody that will in any way testify on her behalf, and you know it says a lot to me that there's nothing. This woman will do anything, but. It's predictable.
Well, let's bring this into the discussion we were just having on the media because, you know, when you talk about the Fourth Estate, the Showtime documentary coming out, you have to consider what kind of thing should be in the media. And, you know, with you and your father, a lot has been spoken. A lot of people are sympathetic to your side. What about his wife's side? She has not gotten the promotion. You may be CNN from the liberals for President Trump, and she is not getting to have the access, or at least she's not choosing.
Oh no,
the
she's
access.
Not choosing. She's everything.
So would anyone
that we've
take
done,
her side?
I mean, you know, there are people.
How does it shape people's thinking?
Well, I think when you present the facts, which we did in court over and over and over again, they were facts.
Yeah, but they're facts to you, maybe not to her.
No, Alan Gervey.
What? No, I'll tell you something.
No, I'll tell you something.
I go into court all the time with facts, and people say, well, those aren't the facts.
Okay, so you tell me this. You tell me this isn't a fact. Just explain this.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Okay, just explain this to me.
Okay.
How would you in court defend this? You have a woman on tape who's unplugged a 82-year-old man. Took his IVs out. Nurses are trying to stop her. The doctor says you cannot take this man out. This is against doctor's orders. Puts him in a wheelchair and wheels him out. That's on tape. Okay?
It's on tape.
Hold on a second. Not only that, if you did that to a baby, let's say you unplugged a preemie baby from its incubator, right? And the mom said, I'm taking the baby home. I don't care. Doctor said, absolutely not. You could harm this baby or the baby could die. The nurses said, please don't do this. You can't do this. The baby needs the incubator. The mom says, I don't care. Grabs the baby, takes the baby home. 3 weeks later, the baby's dead. That mother would get rung up on charges of child abuse and murder.
So hold on.
So you can do that to an elderly man. And a doctor says you will harm or kill him, writes a letter to the judge saying what Gene Kasem did would harm or kill Mr. Kasem. And 3 weeks later, he was dead. What's the difference? I want to know in your eyes, what's the difference?
Mom, what's the difference?
No, I'm asking you, Mr. Gervey. You're the one who came at me like a lawyer.
See, I can't make any comment because I haven't seen the facts. You're just telling me.
But it sort of sounds the same.
He's not listening.
It's hearsay. It's hearsay. I would like to have... to hear both sides. I'd like, what's her name, that lady who was your stepmom? What's that lady's name?
This will be my last show today. and I really enjoyed working with you so much.
Wait,
Alan.
Tell me her name. I'd like to hear, will she come on the air and debate this with you?
Gene Kasem?
Yeah.
No. Piers Morgan tried to get her on. Many people have tried to get her on her side of the story. Every single news article I've done,
okay, Mom,
TV
let
show,
me ask you something.
Hold on, let me finish.
Do you think
she's still talking?
He won't. He interrupts everyone. So, you know, it's very interesting. And I know he has to do this to play devil's advocate, so he doesn't want to be sued. I get it. So here's the thing. If you've asked somebody to be on over and over and over and over again, the media has wanted... I mean, do you know how much the media would want her on? She hasn't done anything.
Mom, let me ask you this. Does the silence from Gene Kasem, does that suggest anything? Does that mean that Carrie's version of the story is correct? Maybe. I don't know.
I think the deafening silence says it all. I also think running away for 2 years and not telling anybody where you are... says something else.
See? I just made you present your best argument. You just did the best argument.
Well, thank you.
By the fact that she has, she has nothing to say, which suggests something.
Don't you think
if you're accused of something that you would defend yourself regardless of whether you want to do it in the media or not? 100%.
Because every time she did try to defend herself with things that were not true, we'd come back with the truth. We'd come back with facts. And that's why I won an impossible case, because I proved egregious elder abuse. That's why I won a temporary guardianship over my father. So I think it says a lot. And I'm really, I have to say, excited to be done with this, excited to be over with this. And I'm excited to present all the facts as we have them. And it doesn't even have to be me or my brother or sister getting up on the stand. It has to be all the other witnesses that we have that are going to be so compelling, and it's going to be so heartbreaking that I want everybody to see what went on and why we fought so hard for my dad. And I think it's
going to
finally come out.
We just have a couple more minutes, and we've talked about before, and hopefully everything works out. I think it will.
Thank you.
I just hope that you get some closure, because I know how much it bothers you, your emotions.
I want it to be done.
No, I understand that.
I'm done with this.
It's dragging and dragging.
I want it over.
Yeah. Justice was not
Thank you. And justice was not done for my father through the DA's office, so we have to do it civilly. If somebody you feel like, you know, killed your father, murdered your father, hurt your father, harmed your father, whatever it may be. I'm just saying, you wouldn't just sit back if the DA said, we're not going to prosecute.
Mom, what are you passionate? Carrie is so passionate about this, and I admire her for that. What are you passionate about? We got a couple minutes. You're going to be in LA for another week. So what is your passion? Everyone has to find their passion in life. Your family.
My family and visiting and seeing my
grandchildren, Hudson and Harper, and your daughter-in-law, Nancy.
Nancy.
She's out of town, but she'll be back.
Son Alan.
Yeah. Everyone has to find passion in life, and that's the problem. People accuse me of being out of control, but I tell people all the time that if you find your passion, you really can be happier. You can live more just more fully because you believe in something, you want to support it, and you perform better. Do you find that, you know, when you have your passion that you feel better?
I'm not performing anywhere at this time.
You're not performing. Well, you feel better a lot, and I think, Carrie, being so passionate, you would understand that as well.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing that you really aren't passionate about what you care about.
That's very true. That's very true.
And, you know, that's why, you know, when we what goes around comes around, we started the show with, maybe that's not what I'm going to say.
No, yeah, thanks
a lot,
Alan.
But we started with you breaking up with Jesse, and you're very passionate because you really care about him.
Very much.
And Mom?
Yes?
Your passion, we come to your family, and you'll be here for the week. We're going to Circus Vargas. Have you ever been to the circus?
Yeah, I stopped going to that a long, long time ago. God.
Thankfully. The music comes on. Hudson and Harper are finished watching Umizoomi. Thanks for listening. This is Gervie's Law. Go to our Facebook page or go to gervieslaw.com to hear all of the podcasts. All of the podcasts right at Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.